Mobile phones are off, although we had three yesterday, I think. Okay, these two sessions together are titled Living Life on Purpose, and they're a sort of a description of the kind of work that I do as a life coach, where you don't need to have done both sessions. Some of you might have discovered that you're already living the life you love, so you didn't come yesterday, that's fine. But maybe you need to love the life you live, so that's why you've come today. But to give you a different description, the distinction between the two sessions, yesterday we were looking at quite a Western idea. For example, if you're wanting to generate more happiness in your life, a classic life coaching approach might be to make some plans and decide that after bringing about certain changes in your life, maybe happiness is 3 months away. Maybe it's the other side of a job change or the other side of a house move or some kind of change to a relationship, perhaps. There's a lot of useful ideas in thinking in that particular way. There's a lot of useful tools. That's what the whole session yesterday was about. Can I see a show of hands? How many people came yesterday? Okay. Must have been good because they've all come back. The session today is about perhaps a more Eastern idea, perhaps a more contemplative idea. For example, maybe happiness is indwelling. Maybe happiness, the most happy you could ever be, the full quota, the unlimited, unending quota of happiness is actually already there inside you. It's simply covered over by ideas. So maybe there are techniques and ideas that we can also bring to that to uncover what's already there. I described yesterday, and seeing as you have a piece of paper, you can draw this for yourself if you weren't here yesterday, just to give you, I was going to do this on a flip chart, but this is a flip chart free venue, which is fantastic. It's a little pyramid divided into three. And at the top you have behaviour, and in the middle you have belief, and at the bottom you have being. And I described yesterday that as we attempt to bring about change in our life, whether we're moving towards something we like or moving away from something that we don't like, we tend to work just in that triangle, the two top layers, which I would say for the purpose of this session, I would describe as the ego. Both our behaviour, the way we react and interact with other people in the world, but also the belief system which gives rise to our behaviour. I would describe as the ego, but there is this layer underneath called being, and that is entirely what this session is about. I want to be speaking to the part of you that is your being. So I'm going to be asking you to come to stillness. And this is really part one, this 1 to 10 little race through of this stuff. It starts with you coming into a comfortable position, a position ideally where you're not going to fall asleep, but this isn't going to take that long. In terms of awareness or spirituality or meditation or mindfulness, as the Buddhists might call it, all of this, these similar words, the first part of this is a little story that I've illustrated with number one, as the disciple has gone back to the guru again and again and again to ask, what is the key to meditation? What is the key to awareness? What is the key to this mindfulness thing? And he said, are there gaps between your thoughts? He was quite cheesed off because he tried all these other stories and they hadn't worked. Are there gaps between your thoughts? Yes, says the disciple, just make them bigger. So we're going to have a go at that. So find yourself a comfortable position. It helps if you have your eyes closed. And again, I'm wanting to speak past your egos to that deeper part of you, the place where wisdom, unlimited wisdom, resides. So first, let the mind be free of any concerns or preoccupations. In one easy movement, let the mind fall still and come to rest within. Be aware of where you are now. Feel the touch of your feet on the ground. The weight of your body on the chair or the ground. Feel the touch of the clothes on the skin. And the play of air on face and hands. If they're open, let the eyes receive colour and form without any comment. Taste. Smell. Be fully here. Now be aware of hearing. Let sounds be received and let them rise and fall without comment or judgment of any kind. And with the body completely relaxed, let the hearing run right out to the furthest and gentlest sounds, embracing all. Simply rest in this great awareness for a few moments. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeing new lands, but in seeing with new eyes, says Proust. You master your thoughts, or your thoughts master you, said the Buddha. What you are aware of, you can control. And what you are not aware of, you cannot control, said Anthony de Mello. You can only make the space for change to happen. This is about being rather than doing. But the depth to which your thinking and emotional habits can distract and delude you is enormous. Eckhart Tolle, with a bit of me. Some of you may find this session difficult, or to be more precise, there might be a part of you that finds some of the stuff in this session difficult because it's quite challenging. We do contain within us an idiot. And perhaps sometimes that could be pointed out. So perhaps neither try to accept or reject what you hear, what's being said, but perhaps think about trying it. Because it's actually true that there's nothing that I'll be saying today that you don't already know, and if anything resonates with you, it'll be because you already know it, and I'm simply mirroring back to you what it is that you're saying yourself, or perhaps that deeper being part of you. I'm making a natural transition as we move now into the next part, but if you want to stay in a meditative state, that's fine. So I want to start off with number two. Talking about some hallmarks of this deeper state. Again, it might be called your soul, it might be called your spirituality, it might be called your natural and unnatural state. Again, other teachers would call this being awake or being asleep. So remember that pyramid, your behaviour and your beliefs that I'm calling your ego. That might be the part of you that we might say is the asleep part of you in relation to a deeper part of you, which is awake. It's a matter of bringing that to awareness. So a couple of things about this natural state. Well, love is one of the things that comes from this natural state. And I mean love that has no opposite. There's a love, a different sort of love that has an opposite. If it one moment was love and then suddenly it was hate, that's not what I'm talking about. It's something much deeper than that. It's love that has no opposite. I've gone for the fruits of the spirit here, haven't I? Joy, peace, patience. A lot of these things come from this much deeper part. True happiness. Also true wisdom, I think. Think of a situation that you've found yourself in and ask yourself this question, putting your own name into this statement. What would wise Bruce do? Do you often know the answer to that question? Actually, if you were to ask yourself that, what would wise me do, actually? There's this deeper part that sometimes often knows the answer. I think that there's a certain dependency with this deeper part of us that is dependent on something outside of us. So that's why I've used the word grace there. I think that's possibly what grace is. Grace isn't something that we're lucky enough to have if the equation's right and if God's feeling in a nice mood. It's actually another limitless part of this deeper container within us. And again, it's something that we've covered over. So the unnatural things, as I've written them down there, really, anger, fear, need, dependence, division. The answer to those things is something to come along from outside of you, a job, a partner. Happiness comes as a result of a particular equation being answered. What we've done and how this works in everyday life, really, is that for happiness, which is maybe the true thing, if you like, the deeper part, we've mistaken happiness for pleasure. There's something different about those, but we've mistaken one for the other. Fullness of life, we've mistaken for incessant activity. Generosity, we've mistaken for giving to get. Wealth has been mistaken for money. In detachment, being free, sometimes we mistake for not caring. One of the reasons why I think what might be sounding like that I'm encouraging a certain amount of introspection and work on yourself, which, of course, there should be alarm bells going on if, you know, sometimes the answer to being happy and being healed and is just to forget about yourself and move on and do something for somebody else. But there's a bit that I stumbled across at the beginning of Philippians in one of Paul's lovely hellos that's at the beginning of those letters. I pray that your love may increase with knowledge and depth of insight. And I like that link between your ability to love yourself, others, the world, community, that increasing in balance with your knowledge and depth of insight of yourself. There's some link between those two. I find that very interesting. But whilst we do have an ego, what do we do? Do we think, okay, well, if I realise I am not this ego and this ego causes me problems because it brings on worry, stress, anger, fear, need, dependence, all of these things, what do I do? Do I suppress it? Do I deny myself? Do I whip my back once a day? All of these things. No, you don't. There are things that you can do. This is moving on to number three. For example, if you find that your ego is giving you the idea that you aren't happy, it may well be that you can do something about that. You can work in parallel with the ego. I don't think it's possible to be, well, some people claim it is possible to be entirely separate, to wake up, to become free of this other self. But I don't know many of those people. But perhaps it's a matter of working in harmony with this part of you. The biggest thing that can affect happiness is giving thanks. Giving thanks for three things a day for between 3 and 3 months. Again, this is something that I've tried and it's had a huge effect on me. So, have a go. Write down 5 things for which you can be happy about. So I'm not talking about suppressing. I'm not talking about suppressing your unhappiness or suppressing your depression. I'm thinking perhaps there are some useful tools that allow you to work with the way that you are. This has an enormous effect. A slight variation on this. This is one of the things I get my clients to do, those that are fairly unhappy or claim to be. And it becomes a self-sustaining joy, as one of them described it back to me afterwards. Another thing you can do is keep a happiness diary, maybe every hour or so over a week. Just jot down what it is that you were doing and whether at that moment you're happy or not. And do more of the stuff that makes you happy.